Amen. God is good. Woo! Hey, happy Resurrection Day. Amen. He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. So today we get to celebrate the risen Christ. The risen Christ who lives in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Today is the day. Yes, Resurrection Day. We get to celebrate what Jesus has done for us in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody got your seatbelts on? Ready to go? Okay, I'm going to unbutton my coat here. All right. Here we go. The resurrected Christ in you. Hallelujah. On Friday, of course, was Good Friday, and we talked about the death of Jesus and that tremendous price that Jesus paid for us, for our salvation, for our deliverance, for the forgiveness of our sins. His blood was shed in a horrendous way, physically in what he went through, spiritually in what he went through as he was separated from God, bearing all the sin of the world. His righteous spirit had to experience something that he had never experienced before. And that was the personal understanding, experiential understanding of evil, of sin, your sin, my sin. It was a tremendous sacrifice that he gave for us. And our response to that should be one of unending devotion, should be one of servanthood. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you have been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. I don't know about you, but I know as Penny and I talk about these things, our heart cry is to have everything that Jesus has died for us. Every blessing, every promise, every benefit, because he died for it. He paid that tremendous price. And that's what we want, to honor him, honor what he has done for us by giving ourselves wholly to him and for him. Then on the third day, says that he was raised again. Romans chapter 6, verse 25 says that he was offered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification, our righteousness, just as if we had never sinned, justified before him. And so we have a wonderful privilege after the cross, after the resurrection, to live that kind of life. Let's look at the overview. The resurrection of Jesus was the capstone of the work of God on man's behalf. In this new covenant, Jesus lives in us. So it's not just the Spirit occasionally falling on someone like they did in the Old Testament, on kings and on prophets and warriors from time to time. In this new covenant, Jesus lives in us. Our spirit has been reborn, and the Spirit of God resides in us, resides in you, resides in me. All of God His power, wisdom, love, goodness, comma, etc. and etc. is now in us. That is why the Bible says that Christ in you, the hope, the expectation of glory. Colossians 1:27. We're going to look at that more in depth in a few minutes. This power of God in us is released as we understand it, then by faith release it to affect our lives, the lives of others, and this world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to accomplish something today. I want you to begin to understand more and more and to grow in your understanding of what it means to have the resurrected Christ living in you. That's my goal today. I want you to grow from wherever you're at in that understanding to a new level. So in this teaching today, I want to do a couple of different things. One is I want you to see a pathway for growth in understanding who you are in Christ as having the living Christ in you and what that means, how to implement it into your life and how to let it flow out of your life. I also want you to see some different ways of thinking about the risen Christ in you and how to overcome some of the challenges to letting him out of our lives. So I am expecting this to be a powerful sermon today, a powerful message from the Word of God, and take us all to newer and better and more dramatic and dynamic levels of understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. Let's start by looking at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. I'm actually going to start in verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to us, his holy ones, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is a new revelation. It's not just God out here. It is God in here, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the confident expectation of glory. Now, we say that. We believe what God's word says, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I believe that many of us don't really believe it because you don't live your life as if you believe it. So I want to help you today to begin to understand who you are in Christ and to grow and grow and grow in that understanding so that it takes possession of you, so that it becomes such a revelation that it dominates your whole understanding and your being of who you are in Christ as the resurrected Christ living in you. The way we're going to talk about the growth levels is to go through the parable of the sower, because I think that gives us some insight into a growth path that will help us to understand how to grow in understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Now remember, in the parable of the sower, Jesus was talking about the seed being sown on the ground of the heart. And so as the seed was being sown, it fell on four different types of ground, four different types of hearts, as you will. And in that, in each one was a challenge, except for, of course, the last one, which was the good ground. So when it was sown on the wayside, the pathway, it says in Matthew that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, it says, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received the seed by the wayside. Now remember, we're talking about the word of God, and the word of God is living and active, and it's designed to become that seed that goes into our heart and produces something. But if it, just like a regular seed, if all it does is land on the sidewalk or land on hard-packed ground, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to sit there, and then the evil one can come and snatch it away. What makes the difference is the understanding. So it's not just hearing the word. It's not just having the word preached, but it's the understanding. Understanding is the ability to take a bunch of associated facts and put them together in some order, some organization, so that you can then act on it. And so when you hear the word, what should be being done is not just here's the word, but then what does it mean? How do you apply it? How do you put it together with the other things that you already have? And so today we want to grow in our understanding so that we just don't say, well, it's great. Jesus lives in me. All of God lives in me. The power of God lives in me. You know, if all that does is stay as mental assent, as you agree with it, but it has no effect on your life, you're not really understanding it and letting the word get into your heart and begin to grow so that it takes root and you can do something with it. So let's take a little bit closer look at what Paul is doing here in Colossians. I want us to look now at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, he says, verse 1, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you." Now, in order for us to understand what he's talking about there, we kind of need to go back. Let's go back to chapter 1. After he made that revelation of the mystery that of Christ in you, the hope of glory, it says, "Whom we preach," talking about Christ, "warning," in other words, exhorting strongly, "admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ." So that was his desire, that they would know who they are in Christ and that he would continue to encourage them and exhort them. And that at times means confrontation. That at times means instruction. Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Are all scriptures inspired by God profitable for teaching?" We love the teaching, but it's also profitable for rebuke, for correction. The word of God needs to confront us sometimes and show us where we've gone wrong. And then it goes on to say, training in righteousness. So it tells us what to do. It shows us where we've gone wrong. It shows us how to correct it. And then it shows us how then to proceed in order to do it right. And it says that the man of God, that the person of God may be perfect and complete and able to do everything that God has called them to do. So here he's wanting to present them perfect in Christ. Verse 29, "Whereunto I labor, striving according to his working," according to God's working, "which works in me mightily." Now remember, in the scriptures, when Paul wrote this, he didn't stop here, put a period, write a 2, and chapter 2, verse 1. There were no chapters and verses. It was just a letter. So don't think of it as now we're going into something brand new. It's a continuation. For, notice the word for there. He's continuing. For I would that you know that I have great conflict for you. In other words, just as he's striving and wanting others to come to know what he's trying to tell them and to become perfect in Christ, he's also striving for them. He is wanting them to become perfect in Christ. Now, the reason why he is so concerned about them is because Paul had never actually been to Colossae. He had never preached to these Christians. He had never preached to the Christians at Laodicea. He goes on there in verse 1, talks about the Christians at Laodicea. He had never preached there. One of his disciples, Epaphras, had gone to Colossae, preached the gospel there, and people have been converted. And so he is wanting them, just as his own converts, to become complete in Christ, to understand who they are, to become perfect in Christ, to understand that Christ in them is the hope of glory. And so he's writing this letter to them that they would not be deceived. If we look at verse 4, it says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words and lead them astray." So that's why he's writing this letter. He wants them to grasp some things to make sure that the gospel that they are hearing, the gospel they are living by, is the true gospel. And so he is wanting to do that. Now, here's one thing that's interesting. There where it says he doesn't want people to come with enticing words. Paul used that phrase in another one of his letters when he talked in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "I did not come to you with enticing words." That word there means, in the Greek, it means persuasive, a persuasive speech. "I didn't come to you with persuasive speech," he said, "but I came to you with demonstration of the Spirit and power." So we don't want to be listening to people that just come with persuasive words, able to put two sentences together with a lot of dramatic stuff to get your attention. We also need to hear the word of God from people who are seeing it demonstrated through their lives. In other words, they're living as though Christ lives in them and the power of God is flowing with them. So when Paul went and ministered, he was preaching the word, but he was demonstrating it with power and with demonstration, with the power of the Spirit. It says Mark 16:20, that those who preached the word, that what followed them was signs and wonders, because God was working, Jesus was working with the word, bringing signs and wonders and miracles. Just a little sidelight there. Okay, so let's go on now. As he's making this discussion with them, I want us to look at verses 9 and 10. "For in Christ, in him, dwells all the fullness of God." All the fullness of God. And verse 10, "And you are complete in him," which is the head of all principality and power. For in him, let's go back to verse 9. "For in him," in Jesus, "dwells all the fullness of God." And that word there means fullness. Everything was packed in to Jesus. And that is the noun form of that particular verb, to fill the fullness. Then in verse 10, and he says, "And you are complete in him." That is exactly the same word, but in the verb form. So what he's saying there is all of God is in Christ. All of Christ is now in you. So the fullness of Christ in us makes us complete. Everything that we need. We have everything that we need in Christ Jesus because he lives in us. We're not just looking for the power of God out here. God, come save me. God, come heal me. No, we're saying, you know what? I have the power of the living God living inside of me. I can do anything. I can overcome everything. And that power that's in us is released to enact the power of God in our lives. Now, I want us to go back now and look at verse 2 of the same chapter. That their hearts, talking about the saints at Colossae and also at Laodicea, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of a full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. So that mystery of God, we just read in chapter 1, verse 27, is Christ in you. So what he's trying to say here is, I want you to grow up. I want you to understand. But notice the way that he says it. All the riches of the full assurance of understanding. So these become levels of our understanding. Let's start with understanding. Understanding. And then the full assurance of understanding. And then the riches of the full assurance of understanding. So that's what I want us to use today as our outline. And then it says, to the acknowledgement, which is another higher level beyond just understanding. Acknowledgement of the mystery of God that was in of the Father and of Christ. Now notice verse 3. In whom? In Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything you need is in you, because Christ Jesus lives in you. And I want you to grow so that you believe that, so it fills your heart and your mind and your understanding. Because in doing so, then what you can do is take what we have taught you at ABC about the heart, the soul, and the mind. In other words, the pentacotomy, the spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body. And let that spirit, that power of God that is in you, flow throughout your being so that you become like Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, here's the interesting thing. Hear those words? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Those are the exact same words that we saw in Colossians 1, 9, and 10. That you might be filled up completely with all the fullness of God. So now what he's talking about is not just what's in our spirit, but that because Christ dwells in us, verse 17, that we have now let the Spirit of God envelop our whole being, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our bodies. That is where we're going with this. So we have been given tools here at ABC about how to do that. Okay, let's go on now to growing. Well, first of all, I guess we need to grow in the revelation of Christ in you. Proverbs 23:7 says, For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So as we think, as we understand ourselves, that is who we are. And I want you to grow in your understanding of who you are in Christ, because Christ lives in you. And that is the confident expectation of his glory. And that word glory there means that it is an outward manifestation. Glory is not something that's hid, but it is an outward manifestation. So the more that we are letting the risen Christ in us come out of our lives, the more of his glory, the more of his goodness, his power, his love, his glory is going to affect those around us and affect you. So let's talk now about the next level, understanding the mystery. And I'm equating this to the stony ground. First of all, let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4, because in each one of these, I want us to give another way of looking at this Christ in you. In Romans 6, I'm going to start in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So here's another way of looking at who we are in Christ. That we are to be raised, we have been raised with him to walk in newness of life, in the power of his resurrection. That is the kind of power that we have in us. That power sometimes, though, gets diluted by the stony ground. It says there in Mark 4:17 that they, having no root in themselves, and so endure. Let me start in verse 16. This is Mark 4:16. These are they likewise that are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Wow, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Wow, that's great. They receive it with gladness. But it says they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And so they stop then believing that word. They are offended. Something has happened to cause them to stumble. That is the basis of that word in the Greek of offended. Cause them to stumble. So, there was a man that was learning these truths about Christ in him, the hope of glory. And he had gone to speak at another man's church. And one day they were out at lunch, and they were walking towards the restaurant where they were going to go. And there was this commotion going on. So they went over there to see what was happening. And there was this man in the gutter. People had been checking him out and said, oh, he's dead. And of course the ambulance, or the paramedics had been called and whatnot. And this man thought, wow, this is an opportunity to be that manifested Son of God, to let the living Christ come out of me. So he went over to that guy. He said, get back. He grabbed him by the feet. He said, in the name of Jesus, come back to life. And just as he said that, the body just jumped. And of course, everybody, scatters. Unfortunately, what happened was the paramedics came up right then and just kind of took over the situation until he couldn't finish. But he was so excited because he saw that the power of the living Christ was coming out of him. The power of God was flowing out of his life. So that's what we want to be like, that we are so convinced that the Spirit of God lives in us, that we can face every situation and know that we can overcome it. Nothing is impossible to us who believe. So we don't want to let the things that we see it by sight, the persecutions, the temptations that come against us, to cause that word to be choked or to be cut off. So we are to, there's a couple of things that we can do. First of all, we need to learn how to walk by faith, not by sight, to believe that the power that is in us, the power of God in us, is able to overcome. So no matter what the circumstances look like, we can overcome it. No matter what a person, let's say you're asked to pray for somebody, and that person's body is riddled with cancer, we can look at it and we can say, oh my, I don't know about that. I don't know if I have enough faith for that. Or we can look at that and say, you know what? The power of the living God lives in me, and he can do anything. You know, the Lord started dealing with me about some of these issues, three or four weeks ago in preparation for today. And this was just rattling around and just building up in me. And I remember when Penny and I went over to visit Evie at the convalescent home. Boy, it was just there. I mean, I just looked at her in the eye and I said, "You're going to be okay. Everything is going to be fine. God is taking care of everything." Because I knew, because the God that's in me can do that. And we prayed for her and we saw changes right there. And then here she is, home. Praise the Lord. All right, Evie. See, the power of the living God. Now, I wasn't the only one who prayed for her or the only one that was involved in ministry, but I knew when I was ministering to her that the power of the living God was flowing out of my life. So we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We let the unseen, in other words, the things that are eternal, change the things that are seen, the temporal things. It's by the power of the living Christ in us that we can do this, because we have an eye of faith, not an eye looking at the circumstances. We learn to trust God and his word, which do not change. So whatever God has said, whatever the word has said, we believe that. In Hebrews 6:17 and 18, it says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie." So we need to look at his word, say, what does his word say to us? What has God said? And we need to believe that above any circumstance. So when the word says you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, we don't look at the pain in our bodies or the discomforts. We don't look at what the doctor's report has said. We look at what the word has said, because that is the report that we should believe. And when we believe that report, then and trust in the power of the living Christ in you, it will overcome those things. Because in our heart, we are trusting what God has said. And that then lets the Spirit within us, the power of God in us, begin to flow out so that it changes our heart. It changes our words. It changes our mind. It changes our soul, the direction of our life, as we believe it, as we understand that God cannot change what he has said. I mean, if he said it, you can take it to the bank. It is true. It is real. It is going to happen. There's a scripture, I think it's somewhere in Mark. Anybody help me with the scripture I'm thinking about? Mark 11:24. "Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." We believe that we receive him because we pray, because we know what God's word has said. We believe we receive him, and we don't come off of that until when? Until we see the result, until we see the manifestation. So we look at what God's word says, not at what the circumstances say. And as we are growing in that understanding, and that we have the power of the living God in us, no circumstance can stand against the power of the living God. So that's understanding the mystery and overcoming the stony grounds in our life so that the word can take deeper and deeper root in us. The next level, the full assurance of understanding. So now we're not just talking about we understand it, we're beginning to get some understanding, but now we're talking about a full assurance of understanding. When our hearts are assured before God, when we understand that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that our hearts are assured, I'm thinking now of 1 John chapter 3, around verse 20 or so, 22, somewhere in there. It says that when our hearts are assured, then we can trust God. We have confidence in God, and our prayers will be answered. There is a full assurance of understanding of who we are in Christ and that His power lives in us. In Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17, a scripture that many of us pray every day, because Paul has said there that he has given to us a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of His calling, that we would know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, those two things talk about His calling, which is that we have been called to be sons of God, His inheritance, which is everything that Jesus has provided for us. Remember that Jesus is the heir of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that the Father had, Jesus has. Everything that Jesus has, we have. And so, then it goes on to say, so that's our calling, our inheritance. And then it says, and the exceeding greatness, that you might know the exceeding greatness of His power towards us. And it's that same power that raised Jesus from the dead and set Him at God's right hand. And then it goes on in Ephesians 2, 6, and it says, and we have been raised up and seated with Christ. Now it goes on there in verse 17, or chapter 1, verse 20, and it says that we are, that Jesus is seated and we are seated with Him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. That power in us gives us dominion, gives us authority over everything, over every demon, devil, evil spirit, every name that is named, everything in life. But we don't want that power that's in us to be cut off, to be choked out by the cares of this life. In Mark 4, he goes on to say, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things enter in and choke the word, and to become unfruitful. So we have to guard our hearts against things that try to distract us from who we are in Christ. The cares of this world, trying to build that business and take care of the family and do all the things that we have to do, not necessarily ungodly things that it's talking about here, but just things that distract us. We need to find ways to incorporate who we are in Christ, incorporate the Word of God into our lives. Because it says in Romans 6 that to be carnally minded, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because, going on verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we need to be consecrated. We need to be able to give everything to the Lord. Matter of fact, it even Jesus put it this way. He who loses his life in Christ will find it. He says there that for whoever shall try to save his own life, try to hang on to the things that are pleasurable and have some meaning and personal to them, they try to hang on to it, they're going to end up losing it. But whoever loses their life for my sake shall find it. So there is a consecration that takes place here. We cannot be friends with God and friends with the world at the same time. We have to focus on God, to be His friend, to do, and that means to do the things that He has called us to do, to understand that the power of the living God lives in us, and He has called us because of that to do some things, to change some things in our lives and ministering and in our lives, those around us. I mean, we having the power of the living Christ in us, there was a situation years ago where Pastor and Pastora were in Manila. They were there to speak at a conference, and it so turned out that there was a typhoon that was scheduled to hit Manila at the same time the conference was supposed to start, and it was a Category 5 typhoon, and so it was gonna. They were the city and the newscasters and everybody was expecting devastation because it was headed right for Manila. But they prayed. They prayed with the team that they were with. They prayed. Others prayed. And what happened was, as the news said, well, first of all, nothing happened. Manila was all waiting for it, and it didn't show up. And they say what had happened was it was like a giant hand came down and swatted the typhoon aside. And it completely missed Manila, went to someplace else. And so, see, that is the power of God, that we can command. They weren't just praying, they were commanding and taking authority over that typhoon and telling it where to go. And it went. Amen. So we have that kind of power. So now we've talked about understanding. We've talked about the full assurance of understanding. Let's talk a little bit now about the riches of the full assurance of understanding. And here now we're talking about the good ground. But notice when it talked about the good ground, it said that there were some 30, some 60, and some 100. So I'm going to take this one as being the 30, because I want to go to a different level that I'm going to call the hundredfold return. So this is the riches of full assurance of understanding. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, a verse many of us are familiar with, but if the Spirit of Him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and that's what we're talking about, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If that Spirit dwells in you, it says He will quicken, give life to your mortal body. See, that's one of the effects of understanding who you are in Christ, that the power of God then can affect you. It can pour out of your spirit and affect your body. If you've got a challenge in your body, let's say you're having some digestive issues, do you realize that within inches of that digestive challenge is the power of the Most High God that is living in you? We need, by faith and understanding and expectation of God's power in us, to release that from our lives so that it will do what the Word has said, quicken, give life to our mortal bodies, take care of that challenge. You know, cancer is no challenge when you've got the Spirit of the living God living in you for yourself and for others that you're ministering to. Amen. So we have the power of the living God. There was a man who was raised in the Baptist church, very devout man who believed God, who loved God, but he was in this Baptist church. And one of the things that he was taught in this Baptist church, that miracles ceased, you know, when the last apostle fell off his horse, right? And so there were no more miracles. But he, And as he was spending time reading the Word of God, God was ministering to him. He began to get this revelation of Christ in you. And it just grew in him. And he said, he couldn't understand. He said, although I believed what the teaching was, this was stirring in me. And it's like, well, wait a second. If the power of the living God is in me, that's like Jesus in me. And it says in the Word that we will do the works of Jesus and even more. And it just really began to stir him. And at one point in time, he was ministering to this man who was blind in one eye. And he was praying for him. And the Spirit of, he was learning how to release the this power. He knew it was in him, but he couldn't figure out how to release it. Anyway, he was praying for this man, and it was released. And the blind eye was open. He was so excited. He said, this is the first miracle that has taken place since the apostles died. He was so convinced that this was the first miracle that had taken place, because he had been taught there were no miracles. And here he saw this miracle in front of him. That man has seen four people personally raised from the dead that he has been involved with. In his ministry, 18 people have been raised from the dead because of the things that he has taught. This power of the living Christ in you. And he has now, this year, 48 years without going to a doctor. He knows what it means to have a living Christ in him. And he is letting that flow out his life to himself and for others. The power of the living Christ in you, when you have the riches of the full assurance of who you are in Christ Jesus, you can do anything and overcome everything, so that the life of God can flow out of you. What limits us is our understanding of what exactly it is that we can have in Christ. So we need to know what the Word says. We need to know the promises. We need to know the blessings. We need to know all the benefits that we have in Christ Jesus. That's why it's so important that we spend time in the Word, because our faith is going to be limited by what we know about what the Word says. So the way that we continue to grow is through the Word. We grow to eat the strong milk of the Word. In Hebrews chapter 5, excuse me, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says, for the time you ought to now to be teachers, you have need for one to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Going to go on to verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we see here, and there's lots of other scriptures we could go at, but we don't have time to do that. But we can see here that there is a progression from milk to meat and to strong meat. So we need to spend time in the Word of God, looking at these scriptures that we've been talking about today, letting them fill your heart and your mind with what Jesus, what God has said and what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. I mean, this is Resurrection Day, and the resurrected Christ lives in you. So find out what the Word says, what the Word promises you, and believe it and act on it. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, talks about how we need to know His Word. Our mind needs to be renewed in order to be transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the way that you become transformed in this particular context, we're talking about transformed, so that you know more and more about what it means to have the Spirit of the risen Christ living in you, All of God is in you. All the power of God is in you. So the more that you know that, the more your mind is renewed to that, the more you're going to be transformed. Transformed in order to do what God has called us to do. Amen. So we need to have our minds renewed. We need to know His Word, which means we have to spend time reading, studying, comparing Scripture to Scripture, and know what His Word says. Then we need to speak His Word to release the anointing into our lives. Titus 3:8 tells us, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we keep affirming, we keep saying it over and over again. And we around here know a lot about affirmations, about speaking God's word over our life. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have been made rich by the poverty of Jesus. And all these various affirmations. I have the mind of Christ. I reckon myself dead to sin. In the name of Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin, but alive unto God. And so these are wonderful affirmations as we affirm God's word over our lives. And every promise of God's word can be an affirmation for our lives. And so we speak His word, affirm it constantly over our lives and over situations that we are dealing with. And we are told then in James chapter 1 that we are to do, be a doer of the word, not just to hear. And it's the doer of the word whose lives are transformed. With meekness, it says in verse 21, receive the engrafted word, which is able to deliver your soul. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but also a doer. For a hearer is deceived, but we are to look into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, to see what it says about us. And when we see what it says about us and what we can do and who we are, that's who we should be looking at. Not at the circumstances, but look at the word of God and what it says about us, that we are filled with all the fullness of God, that we have God living in us. We look at that, and then it says, and he who does the word of God, to him But it's the doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed, in his doing. Amen. So now let's go on to the last point there. Intimate, complete knowledge of Christ in you. Now we're talking about the good ground. Now the word that's used here in Colossians chapter 2, he uses the word acknowledgement. In the Greek, that is epignosko. Gnosko is the word that's commonly used for knowledge. Epi, the prefix on this, means upon. And you put the two together, and what it's talking about is a full, complete, intimate knowledge. So it's not just that you know about it, but you have experience with it. You have understanding, but beyond understanding, you have this intimate and full comprehension so that you know. And so what we're talking about here is that we are to grow from understanding to full understanding, or assurance of understanding, to the riches of the assurance of understanding, to a full and complete knowledge of who we are in Christ. And when we have that complete and understanding of the fact that the Almighty God lives in us, it will change our lives even more than any one of these levels. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he says there, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. First of all, I want you to notice there that it says, grace and peace be multiplied, in other words, increased exponentially, unto you, notice how, through the knowledge. Does anybody care to guess what word that is? Epigenosko. In other words, it's not just learning about Jesus, it's not just learning about God, but having an intimate knowledge. Going back to Ephesians 1, that God would give us wisdom and revelation, an understanding, a revealing of what these things mean. So when we want to see an increase of grace in our lives, we need to grow in our understanding of the Word of God, our knowledge, our that intimate knowledge of Him, and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, according as His divine power. Now here we're talking about that resurrection power. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. First of all, let me ask the question. How has it been given to us? It has been given to us because it is in us. It has been given to us when we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we asked Him into our life and our spirit was regenerated and transformed. Somebody moved in and He brought everything with Him. He came with all the bags. Everything He needed, including the kitchen sink, He brought into us because the fullness of God was in Christ, and the fullness, and we are now filled with Christ. So He has given to us. So in us is everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. Now this word life here, Zoe life, everything that has been given to us is or pertains to life, to the Zoe life of God. Our healing is in us. All the fruit of the Spirit is in us. The love, the joy, the peace is in us. That's why Paul said in that in Colossians 2:2, he says that your hearts may be comforted. Because as you understand who you are in Christ, you realize that everything you need is in Him. And everything that you need is in you. So you need peace. The peace is right there. You just have to draw on it. You need love. You need forgiveness. You need, you know, whatever you need. You need healing. You need prosperity. The Spirit of the living God is in there to provide it for you. He has given us, His divine power has given to us everything that we need for life, for the Zoe life, to be all that God has called us to be, and for godliness. Godliness is talking about the way that we live and conduct our life. So everything that we need to be what He's called us to be, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Everything that we need to accomplish those things are already in us. He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge. Again, full, complete, intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ, who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. See, as we enact those promises in our life, as we know them and understand them and act on them, the power of the living God floods out. Because what is happening here is the thing that links all this together is faith. Believing what God has said and acting on it. So we hear the word, we speak the word, we do the word, and it's all linked together by faith, that we believe as we do those things that it will happen in our life. And in this way, the word is sown in good ground and brings forth a hundredfold, the fullness that it is intended to bring forth. How do we do that?
Let's look at Philemon 1:6. He's praying for Philemon, and he says to him, tells him that he's praying this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That your faith and your expression of that faith might work. That's what the word effectual means, that it might work, that it might be effective in what it's doing. By the acknowledging, there's that word again, by the intimate knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus, by intimate knowledge of Christ Jesus being in us. So our faith, the communication, the expression of our faith happens as we understand who we are in Christ, and that all of Christ lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because of that, you can do anything in Christ Jesus. Because he lives in you, you can do anything. And the scripture tells us that in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we also can overcome everything. We are super conquerors. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, super conquerors through him who loved us, so that we can become in this earth the manifested sons of God, the power of the living God flowing out of our lives to affect us, to affect those that are ministering to, and to affect the world around us as we prepare the way for the return of Jesus. So the recommendation is to spend time meditating on the risen Christ dwelling in you until that revelation so dominates your being that you cannot help but to shine with the glory and the power of God. That's what we want. We want to shine with the glory and the power of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the confident expectation of his glory shining out of our lives. Let the revelation of Christ in you grow in you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.